Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts.
Hi, and welcome to Episode 8, Season 2 of the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. I am Lisa Rhodes. This episode highlights how libraries are functioning in the pandemic. Rachel talks with Sarah Anderson, one of the library media specialists at Lexington High School, and Anne spotlights directions for borrowing online books. We are recording this episode in mid-March 2021. Our district is planning for student return in the coming weeks. While we can't predict the future, we can remind you to check email for updates, refer to our robust Lex Communicate webpage, especially the LPS staff technology website, and contact your building DLCs for support with all things technology. And finally, we want to hear from you, our loyal listeners. Do you want us to spotlight a product or feature a colleague? Please reach out to Ann, Rachel, or me with suggestions.
All right. Hi, everyone. I am here this week with Sarah Anderson, who is a librarian up at LHS and a little bit at Harrington. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm interested. Sarah and I have worked together quite a bit in the past, and I miss seeing your face. So it's delightful to catch up today.
Oh, excellent.
What we're going to be talking about is what do school libraries look like and how things are going this year. So since Sarah and I initially connected to talk about libraries on the podcast, she is also now picked up a little side gig over at Harrington. So now yes. Sarah brings a very broad perspective to us, including a librarian for 9 through 12, a little bit of K, a little bit of 5. Yeah. And I love that.
It's been great, but let's be clear. I have done zero heavy lifting for the fifth grade and kindergartner. The long-term elementary librarians at the throughout the district have been actually banking and saving a lot of lessons and lesson plans.
Yeah.
So luckily for us, those of us who are picking up classes at Harrington, we've been able to go there and pull out lessons to work with the kids. So it's been a lot of fun, actually. It's a nice change of pace to work with the little ones. Especially the kindergartners are so earnest.
Yeah.
and the fifth graders are fun, and they're kind of over elementary school, so they have also kind of a little bit of an attitude.
You're going to see them again in 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I've reminded them of that a couple of times. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a nice change of pace. It's different because you have a half-hour snapshot that you try to cram a lot of stuff into, and then, boop, they're off to whatever next class they're off to. And coming in halfway through the year, they're already sort of Zoom experts, which has been fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you can speak more to the high school about how things are different this year, both with your job and how the library looks. I have not set foot in the library. I honestly don't know. Do kids set foot in the library or is it all in Zoom? What's it look like this year?
It's physically you go into the library and there's literally a pile of furniture in the middle.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Some of our furniture and some furniture. Yes, it's really soothing and welcoming environment and furniture from elsewhere. And they've set up two classrooms, you know, a classroom on each side of the library for the RLA, the teachers who are working remotely. So between those of us working in the library, we take shifts watching the classes for, you know, to be the adult in the area and make sure the seating charts and stuff like that. So that's physically what's going on in the library.
So physically we're using the library for something different.
Yes. It's just classroom space.
Okay.
It's been a bummer to have to tell kids who are just coming in to look for, to do work that we can't take them.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's rough every time. We tell them they can go to the cafeteria or the science lecture hall, but you can tell they just kind of want to sit in the quiet space and work. And we just cannot do that right now.
We like our library.
Yeah. And also nobody can browse shelves. We can still get you books. There's an online form that we can have you fill out or just come and talk to us.
Yep.
But it's not like just sort of a relaxing browse yourself. There are a lot of items we can't check out this year that we usually do. And so we've been really sort of constrained by circumstances, but we're kind of, you know, like everyone else, chugging along the best we can with what we got.
Yeah. And I think one real positive part of your work this year in libraries in general has been really capitalizing on some of those digital resources that you, many or most or all of what you had were already in existence.
Yes.
And this has been a year to like really encourage people to use them and maybe do some advertising around that. I'm not sure if that's your perspective as well, but that's definitely something I notice on the outside.
No, there's a lot of opportunity to pick up, or at least for even colleagues to learn great digital resources that we have already had, or even helping them find stuff through access to other libraries like Boston Public and Cary Library. Some great resources for our students and for our colleagues out there.
Yeah,
I know our colleagues at least are just so hammered by what they have to teach in the classroom that they feel like they don't have a lot of time to come maybe use the resources they would normally do in a regular school year. But I would urge anyone with any questions about finding or using any resources to come find us. We love to do this and even just show you or show your students a quick little database or resource for the colleague to use. We're all over it.
And I think that has been like double-edged sword. A real positive part of this year has been access to all those digital resources and like immediate buy-in because the population needs them.
Because you have to.
Yeah. But maybe a negative of that you sort of got at was, well, when there's so many of these great resources, that can feel a little overwhelming to probably both teachers and students.
Yeah. And especially in, as we've noticed in the last several years, access to information quickly can be good and bad. It's bad when you cannot judge what it is that you're looking at.
Yes.
And people have this sort of default notion that either research is easy because you can pump something into a search engine and boom, you get results. Yay, I'm doing research. But it's become much more complex. Even adults, as you and I, we could put an op-ed piece next to an article and might have trouble picking out which is the opinion and which is the fact.
Yes.
So it gets really dense and really sticky as to what's good information out there. And it's tight. Search engines can be great for specific information, but if you're looking for general stuff, I would to sound like a librarian, I would stick with databases or resources that you know will have good info and then go from there. But it's hard. There's so much information out there. It's easy to grab, but it's also easy to misunderstand.
So I think like part of what I hear you saying is if you're someone who's looking for support in curating down those resources, come to us. We're willing to help. But I think based on my experience with you guys in the past is you also like your role this year, you also support like whole classes and teachers and teams to make those sort of curated list of resources for projects or activities up front. Is that?
Yeah, no. Happening? Yeah. We always have had that sort of, helping people winnow out and pick what's best for depending on the question you're asking, or even if you just want to look at a resource, we can absolutely get you some good stuff right away. If you want the kids to hit the ground running, even in broader topics, we can absolutely give you a curated list. We do something called LibGuides, which looks like a web page, and it's specific to whatever project or class you're looking at. And a lot of our some science classes have used that. And we know a lot of history classes and English classes that use them too. And it's just a quick go-to for the kids. And we've done some for our colleagues as well based on elections or other big things going on, resources that they can pull and choose, pick and choose from quickly to get to what they're looking for.
That's awesome.
And it's a lot of fun. I got into library entry because I'm a big research nerd. I love finding information and I love teaching people how to use it. And I mean, this would be a painful job if you didn't like doing this stuff. So it's great just to get people the information they need or teach them how to use the resources so they can use them again and again.
So help me understand, because this year looks so different.
Yes.
How are you interfacing with teachers and students? Because we talked about the library space being so different. Yeah. And I think I'm going to jump ahead to say, I think that Sarah's going to tell me Zoom has been really helpful.
It's like you read the notes. Yes. So Zoom, as much as people sort of kind of can be fed up with Zoom, Zoom has been a wonderful resource for us and has helped us with some classes, especially at the beginning of the year. Obviously, we could Zoom in and teach some resources and show kids either a LibGuide or a specific database or whatever it is the teacher wants us to use. and give a lesson. But what's nice is we can also just kind of hang out in a room afterwards. So if the teachers give the kids time to start looking for themselves or even working on a group project,
yep,
and they run into questions during this time, we're in a room that they can pop into and talk to us. And yeah, that has been really good to get really good questions from kids, really see where they're coming from. And also for kids working on projects on their own individually, we've set up individual Zoom times just to work with the kid after school or even during school to talk with them about their specific project, resources they're using, citation stuff.
Yeah.
And it's great. We can work with a group if they're working on a group project and easily talk to them about what they're looking at. And since we can share screens, we can show them what we're talking about and also have them sometimes show us what they're looking at. So we can say, oh, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, yada, yada, yada. And I think we've had some really good conversations with kids about projects. And for me, some of the questions have been much more sophisticated this year than we have in years past.
Yeah.
Because working physically in a space is great. I miss seeing the kids. I miss being in a classroom with them. Yeah. However, when you're done with a presentation, kids don't necessarily want to be the person who asks the question because they're afraid of looking dumb or what have you.
Yep.
But they're much more willing to pop into a room like on the quiet with us and ask some really important questions.
Yeah,
so that's been huge. And I actually want to hold on to that when we get back to whatever normal looks like.
Right.
And offer that to, well, research classes, sure. But if, you know, they're offering kids time to work in class, we can be in a room on the side or even after school, certain Zoom hours to help out with projects.
Yeah. And I think, you know, through our whole conversation, a lot of what you're saying is reach out and ask for help. I'm always here. Reach out. And I think that can be really hard for some people. And so I really like that combination of like, we're here and we'll connect with you and we'll come to your group and we'll help you get started. I like that in conjunction with, we'll also just be quietly sitting in a corner or breakout room of this Zoom classroom so that you can come ask us questions when you need. And that I think addresses two different kinds of learners.
Absolutely.
I think that's really helpful for our kids, but probably also for our staff and your colleagues.
No, it's been helpful and colleagues have really enjoyed this too. But I like your point about the sort of different learners because there are some kids who will just never come to the library unless, you know, they have to and they'll never ask the questions. And even though we've done instruction, they might not even realize what we really do, even though we've told them over and over again. So being able to help them on that side and maybe even sort of advertise that next year as we get back in, it's a private tutorial session for research. People pay stupid money for this in college. Like you're getting this for free and we love to do it.
Yeah.
And it's been, kids have really enjoyed that or even showing them, especially for our ELL kids or our kids who need a little bit of support classes. We have lots of resources for them as well. And even showing kids in a database that they can translate it something to their native language to help them understand it before switching back to English has been a huge help for some of our kids.
Yeah. And I think like we were talking a little bit before we started recording and one of my biggest misses this year, and I think most teachers will agree with me, is really seeing kids and being with kids. And so I think those small groups and one-on-one exchanges that you have, you know, even in a Zoom room must be really nice.
It is really nice to do my job, you know, sort of, and get to be with kids. I mean, sitting there and sort of, well, I mean, babysitting, it's been good to see kids' faces and chat with them, but it's depressing. It's a completely different environment. The kids I run into are not really pleased with it, but they're coming to school and, you know, doing what they can because of social needs or, you know, they just like coming to school. And it's everyone feels really constrained. So it's nice to have these connections with kids academically, but also, you know, chat to my kids who happen to be in the library and just talk about stuff in passing. But I think it's just been hard for everyone. So we're sort of just doing what we can.
As we wrap up, let's take a pause from the pandemic and hear a little bit about what you're looking forward to and how, because I think libraries are in this interesting place of, you know, in the last 10 years or maybe even longer have shifted a lot. And maybe that's a real shift or maybe that's just my perceptual shift. And so I'm curious, tell me what we have to look forward to with the libraries and
oh my gosh. I mean, long-term or just even the next couple of years, I think, I hope, as the way we teach is changing, more project-based, we can really get in there and look at how people actually learn. Because we all study this in grad school, right? We study the way the brain works. We study how it does. But it doesn't always happen that way, right? Because of constraints or we need to get X, Y, and Z taught. Hopefully, if we go to more project-based learning, which we've been talking about for ages, we can really weave in the life skill of research and information literacy. Because it doesn't matter how you get your resource, whether it's physically in a book or an ebook or a podcast or what have you. It's, do you know what to do with it? Do you know who's giving this to you and why?
Yeah.
And just being able to discern that will give a lot of these kids and us a leg up on being able to understand what it is that we're listening to or seeing or reading.
Yeah. And outside of just school and go out into the world and are in college or in the world or at work or talking to our friends.
Looking for a job or researching a company or just seeing.
Figuring out who to vote for. All those things.
Actual information.
Yeah.
And I look forward to getting more into that. And the technology, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like some stuff's great and it's been great for a lot of our kids. Some of the old stuff still works.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's how do we get there and what do we do with it?
And giving people sort of choice in how they access things.
Absolutely.
Because those foundational questions are the same no matter how you access information.
It is. Yeah. And how do you unpack things? And a few years ago, there was this kid who only wanted books and he cracked me up. And he actually graduated a few years ago and he came back last year to talk to me at the beginning of the year about some research project. And I was like, you know, they have libraries at your college. And they're more than willing to, I'm happy to be here, but they're more than willing to help you. And I mean, it was very flattering that he's a great kid. But you know, some people for learning, as you know, as you work with students, some kids need to touch the page, you know, some kids need to touch while reading it out loud. So we have a lot of ways to access, get these
all
kids
different
access.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Cool.
It's exciting. I don't know. I like it. It's exciting. It's also scary for some people, but it's an exciting field.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Sarah, for chatting with me today, both about how things look in COVID and what the library looks like in your job and the what's happening news at the library. So
thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, it's Anne here. And today I'm going to talk about borrowing ebooks. Like me, you might miss going to the library and walking around and perusing the new books that are available. But did you know that you can still borrow ebooks online from the LHS Library, Cary Library, and the entire Minuteman Library Network? Just sign up online for your free card, create your account, and then start borrowing ebooks that you can read on any device through OverDrive. You can read through your Kindle or through the browser. Take a look at our podcast notes for more information.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at lextechin10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.